You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries right here in Stuart, Florida, welcoming you and greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon, right, Pastor Donna?
Amen.
And we enjoy being here with you. You heard our intro. We deal a lot with the Hebrew roots and the Jewishness in the Bible, and we lift up all those things because there's so much that we can learn. So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour, and we're going to talk about some more things here today. I had Israel on my heart here this morning early, and I was thinking about sharing some things about Israel. There's such a battle going on, we know, in the world about the nation of Israel and who has the land and who wants the land and all the rest of it. And we know it belongs to God, and He gave it to the Jewish people, Israel, for the Hebrews. And so it's their home, and there's a battle going on, we know, right now in the world with three religious systems, mainly with the Christians, the Jews, and the Muslims as well, over a piece of property over there known as Jerusalem and also Mount Moriah. So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour as we talk about some things here today. Pastor Donna might have a couple things to mention before we start here, and we'll let her discuss that with
you,
and then
Lord,
we'll move on with the teaching. We're honored to be here with you again. Bless you.
There's so much going on in the world today. We really need to pray.
We sure do.
We really need to come together and pray in one accord, even if it be two or three or, you know, a large group, whatever, because God hears the cry of His people. Amen?
That's right.
We do want to say hello, and we thank the Lord for the opportunity to be on this radio broadcast every Saturday, Lord willing.
Yes.
We're also on the internet. If you'd like to listen to us through way of your computer or your telephone, you can it's the WCNO.com. So you can go there and you can listen to this broadcast again, or you can listen to many other things that we have taught in the past. It's the name of the radio broadcast is Raising the Standard.
Yep,
and
Amen.
You can go on Saturday, look at the Saturday guide, and you can go to Saturday at 12 noon, and you'll see us at Raising the Standard, Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. So that would be available for you. And also WCNO is on 24/7, you know, anywhere in the world. So you can tell your friends or your relatives about WCNO, and I know that that's a blessing because they've been a blessing in this area for many, many years. We've been on WCNO for, got an anniversary coming up.
July the 8th, it'll be 20 years we've been on the radio here in Stuart, yes.
20 years, July the 8th, that happens to also be our wedding anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Wow, that's a long time. Praise God, 28 years is a long time.
That's right.
Amen. So God is good. We want to say hello to all you that listen to us on a regular basis, and maybe there's somebody new out there listening to us today.
Hallelujah.
And we also want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey on the Andros Island.
The temple of God, yes.
The people on Andros Island, they're building the temple of God. So we just thank you, Lord, for that, that church, the temple of God on Andros Island, and also for Roscoe and for Audrey Walks, amen, the apostle and prophet over there leading this work, amen. Thank
That's
you,
right.
Father God. So glory to God. Actual building is going up now. They've been in a tent for many years, but now the tent is gone. Amen. And the building is being built, not resurrected, but being built. Amen. No more tent. So we're going to have an actual temple of God, an actual church. Amen. To minister to fellowship and to worship God. And isn't that awesome?
Hallelujah.
So we want to say hello. I want to mention that we have church here in Stuart, Florida. We come together every Friday night at 7 p.m. to meet with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then we will not have anything tomorrow on Saturday, or today, actually. Today's Saturday. We will not have anything today, this afternoon. But we will have services on, we meet with God on Sunday at 10 a.m. at Spirit of Prophecy. And we're here in Stuart, Florida, and we're on the Cantor Highway in the Monterey Plaza. So if you'd like to find out how to get there, you can either Google us on your phone, or you can give us a call at area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that number, area code 772-285-7007. Amen.
Amen.
So it's good to be here. Good to talk about God's Word.
Hallelujah. It shall not return void. It'll accomplish what God pleases with it, right? Amen.
God is faithful. We see a lot of things happening in the world today, but God is faithful. But that's why we see all these things that are happening. That's why we really need to spend more time seeking God and praying and being in His will, being in His perfect will. Amen. Finding peace with God. Amen.
So I thought we'd talk a little bit about that. It was kind of a burden on my heart this morning when I was kind of woke up and I was thinking about Israel and all that they're going through right now and the battle for that land over there that belongs to God, and He gave it to the Jewish people, to the Hebrews. And one day we as believers in Christ, if you're a believer in Christ and you're walking with Him, one day we'll have the privilege to live there and go in and out as well as the heavenly temple comes down from heaven one day when the millennial reign comes and all that. It's going to be amazing what's going to happen. We have so many wonderful promises in the Word of God. But I was thinking this morning about some things that the prophet Zechariah had to say about this time that's coming up. And if anybody doubts we're in the last days, they better wake up and pay attention to what's going on, because we are in the last days. And the Bible makes it clear. We've got all the signs everything's in place to bring this together. And so it's just a matter of when God's going to finish it. He's going to bring the fullness of the Gentiles in, like He says over there in Romans chapter 11, and then He's going to turn to Israel, and their time will come. And so we know this time called Jacob's trouble. It's really, it's Israel's time. We know that Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and this is a seven-year period that God's going to have for the nation of Israel. His mercy and grace is being revealed again through all this to give them another opportunity to receive His Messiah, not the one who they think it's going to be, but the one who's already been here, and He's getting ready to come back again for His people as well. And so we can read the book of Revelation and see those things, and a lot of people are kind of afraid of the book of Revelation, but we shouldn't be. The first three chapters is about the church, and Jesus had those letters written to all seven of those churches explaining the good things they did, and also some of them had a lot of bad things they did because they lost their first love, and some of them were not hot, they were cold and all that. And we want to be the Philadelphia church, which is the sixth church, which is man's number, because that church means brotherly love. And for the most part, they were doing the right things with the Lord. And so the Laodicean church, which is the seventh church, is incredible how bad it was. And the deceit and everything that was there back at that time. And so we have all those seven churches are really patterns of churches that came down through time up to where we are now. And I believe right now, for the most part, we're basically in the Laodicean time. We got a bunch of lukewarm people. They're not sold out to God. They're not walking with Him. They got a little bit of head knowledge about who Jesus is, but they don't really know Him. They just know about Him. And so there needs to be a great change. And people don't even realize this is revealed in the book of Revelation. What is that book all about? And people think, well, that's a Christian book. Well, it's intended for Israel. And what? It's their book. Because after you go through the first three chapters of Revelation, you come to chapter 4. From there all the way to the very end of chapter 22, it's all about the Jewish things. It's showing us about
Israel.
It's about Israel. It shows us trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and tabernacles. It's all revealed through that. But if you don't know your Jewish roots and the understanding in the Bible that we have with the Hebrew understanding, well, then we miss out on all that. So we try to put the church in all that. The church, I'm going to just declare this. We have a lot of teaching today. That's not true. But I'm telling you, the church, the ecclesia that's walking with the Lord will not be going through that time. That's what Paul told us over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, what? To comfort ourselves with these things, because we're going to be taken out of here one day. And if we die, we'll be brought out of the grave and brought into a resurrected body. And if we're alive and remain at that particular time, it says in John chapter 11, what's going to happen? We're going to be caught off the earth. So we won't. It's not a time for us. It's a time for Israel. That's why it's called Jacob's trouble. I don't know how we get so mixed up. And some of the things we're going to read right here today in Zechariah and all, these words from God through the prophet was spoken to the nation of Israel, not to us as a church, okay? We're the ecclesia. It's a separate group. And I'm always reminded what Jesus said. He said, remember, he says, the first will be last, and the last will be what?
First.
So what's he telling us there? Israel should have been first, but because of their rejection of the Messiah and all that, instead of them being first, they're going to be last. So we, as the body of Christ, ecclesia, that come to Christ, well, then we're going to be first and they're going to come in last. That's what the Bible shows.
There'll be a day, though, when they cry out and see.
That's right. That's what we're going to read here.
When talking about Zechariah, you know, God, I believe that we're in some of these things where Zechariah was seeing, getting, these are all prophetic words.
That's right.
And in these end times, you know, he lived how many years?
Way before Christ was even on the earth.
And so, you know, God showed him many of these things, and so we know that many Jewish people, maybe if many people have returned to Israel, maybe maybe not for because of religious reasons, but because God is just drawing them.
That's
and
right.
God is drawing them back to come back to the land.
It's their land.
It is their land. And so, but, you know, I thank God for WCNO, because WCNO, they play a lot of
Jewish music.
Music that, talks about Israel and
That's
sings
right.
about Jerusalem, and we do also in our church. But you know, there's a lot of the church, that some denominations that don't want to even have anything to do. They think Israel is over with. They're done away with.
God's done with them. Yeah.
That you know we've replaced them. We replaced them. But you know, God is working a work in the people of Israel that were Jacob's children. He's working at work in these people and calling them back, because
Hallelujah.
He said he would send them away to the uttermost parts of the world. You know, everywhere, every place in the world, there are people from Israel are living, you know. And then they call themselves a Jew, but we're not going to talk about what a true Jew is. A true Jew is one who really believes in Yeshua, in the Messiah, you know, one who's been grafted in. But and they're from the tribe of Judah, because Yeshua was from the tribe of Judah. Amen?
Amen.
So, but this is these words, these prophecies, these things we're going to share, these things are going to happen. It is going to be a cup of trembling. And you would think people would be afraid to go and live there. But, you know, they're not afraid. And I know when we walked on the land and we went to the land, you know, even if you weren't born there, you felt like you were home.
That's right.
You felt like you could just move there. You felt like you could just, you know, just go and get a house and just live there.
That's
and
right.
Walk the streets.
Permanently, yes.
You know, and walk the streets of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And go into the old city. You just felt this and go to, and the different places that we went to. You really felt like you were home.
That's right.
And, you know, only God can cause somebody to feel that way, you know. And I think it's the love of God that draws us to these things.
His land,
about
yes.
Jerusalem, his land. Amen. The land of Judah.
I'm thinking about a well-known man. He's Jewish, and probably some people's heard of him. His name is Jonathan Sattel. We had him a couple times at our church,
right.
and he sang. And I remember when he was preparing to move back to Israel permanently for a while. He's back in the States now, but he was there for quite a few years. I remember he said, even when you go to Jerusalem, he says, even the birds fly different over there.
Yeah, that's what they say.
even the birds fly different, you know.
Right, and you think about it, you know, there are a lot of people that are coming against Israel, but yet there's a lot of Jewish people. I think of Jonathan Cahn for one.
That's right.
And he has found such favor in our nation and in
Hallelujah.
Israel.
Hallelujah. Bless
with
you, Lord.
With Benjamin Netanyahu and with our president and done the things that he's done in Washington, D.C., you know, God has used him mightily in the books that he's written.
That's right.
You know, that is we're looking at a Jewish man who is calling his people back and he's speaking the truth and he's teaching the truth. You know, and so it just blesses our hearts to see that there is a hunger, and so we can see that there is a revival in the land, even though, you know, some maybe it's not a large amount of people, but I believe it's growing, and I believe that our radio program and some television shows and some of the music we listen to on this radio broadcast, you know, they're causing us to be hungry more for and to seek more things, like
sure.
your book, okay, Pastor Gene, that you wrote about, you know, with all the feasts of the Lord. people are interested in knowing about your book, and they want to read it.
Pictures
they want to study
Messiah.
It, and
yeah.
they want to start to understand why are these feasts so important. Well, these are feasts that God set in order way back a long time ago, thousands of years ago.
Yeah, it wasn't man's idea, it was
no,
God's idea.
No, and there's a reason, and they're That's prophetic. Right. It's not just exercises of doing things. No, it's everything has a meaning, it has a purpose, and it brings us up to the last days, because all the feasts of the Lord, if we understand those feasts, then we're going to understand the Bible better.
That's right.
Like you said, you won't know the end from the end. You got to know about the beginning. You know,
That's
you got to
right.
know why did God set up Passover?
That's right.
You know, why did God make it on Nisan 17 that all these
Jesus
things happened?
Jesus rose from the grave.
Why
yeah.
did the children of Israel come out of the Red Sea on Nisan 17? Why did Jesus rise from the grave on Nisan 17? See, that was all during the time of Passover, during the first fruits, the resurrection. And so why was the blood? Why was the blood applied on the doorpost? Well, why did Jesus have to apply the blood on the cross, you know?
Yeah.
Praise God.
Well, we got to remember all those appointed times, those are all holy things.
Holy.
Holy events.
Amen.
And a lot of people don't take it that way as holy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, that's
true.
Jewish, Pastor Gene. We don't need to do that.
No, it's not.
You know, we're under something else. Well,
it doesn't say these are the feasts of the Jews.
That's right.
The Bible says these are the feasts of the Lord.
That's right. He was one who put them in place.
Who is the Lord?
That's right. Yod Heh Vav Heh,
the Lord mighty and mighty.
So I thought we'd talk about some things about this a little bit, because there is a real battle going on for the city of Jerusalem. Who's going to have the major part of it? Who's going to have the privilege to have control of Mount Moriah and all those things? Well, let's look and see what Zechariah said. And of course, you know, he lived years ago, and I thought about his name this morning. His name means in the Hebrew, Yahweh remembers. He does. He remembers everything. So I'm going to go to chapter 12 with you in the book of Zechariah, if you're at home, and let's read a few verses, then we can talk about it. And we're going to go into 13 also, and we'll see some things in here that God has promised. And he even tells us how everything's going to come to an end. It's right here in these two chapters. So I'm going to start in chapter 12, verse 1. This is interesting. The very first statement, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel. Here, that'll tell you a lot right there, right, Pastor John? It's a burden on the Lord from him for Israel, because it's his land. He gave it to them, and he has a burden that it's going to be fulfilled the way he wants, and we know it will be because he's in charge with all of it, what's going to happen. So it says, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretches forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Did you hear that?
That's it.
Now let's go on. These next couple of verses are really key. He says, behold, there's our word what? Hey, right? The letter hey. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And that's going on right now. There's a war going on. You know, they can't come to peace. All the things that are going on over that piece of property that God gave way back to Israel. Now, verse 3, and in that day, now he's talking about the day of the Lord, which is Jacob's trouble and all, will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. It is right now. It's a burden to a lot of people because they're fussing over this and they're killing people over it and everything else. For all people, it says, all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. Hear that? Though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Those who come against it, what's going to happen? God's going to take care of them. He's going to cut them in pieces. He makes it quite clear. And then verse 4 says, in that day, the same day, the day of the Lord, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house, the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. It's an amazing thing. Amen. Now, I'm going to go down here to verse 6. Let's just go to verse 6. In that day again, will I make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood. It's going to be a burning situation. It's going to be on fire, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf. And they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even where? In Jerusalem. Aren't you glad? The people will be there. Verse 7, the Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, and the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. There's a change going to come, in other words. In that day again shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be what? Will be as David, and the house of David shall be as God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. As the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day again that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And the book of Revelation reveals that to us. All the nations are going to gather around Israel. Right now there's about 22 nations over there that despise them, and they want their land, and they want to kick them out of the country. So I'll read this again. It shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And one day when Yeshua comes back, those nations that are against him, they'll be gone. They'll be destroyed by the word of his mouth. Mm-hmm. And verse 10, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Here, listen to this now. The spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. This is a powerful verse. Now, I used to study this way back, and I want to share this with you. It says right in the middle of this verse, I'll get it in a minute. In the middle of the verse, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. The look is more than just looking at him. They're going to have to be what? Look unto him, what? As their Savior. And this is a big change. They'll have to look at him. We know they'll look at him, but they're going to also have to turn unto him whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness of him, or for him, as one that is in bitterness of Jerusalem. So we see all this. It's going to come to pass in these days, and we're not too far away. I think we're getting real close to the conclusion of this. And so this chapter 12, verse 2 and 3 are very important about the cup of trembling there, and also the burdensome stone. There's a battle going on. I think about back in 1917 when the Balfour Declaration was put in place, that England did to give Israel and the Jewish people a home and to come back to their land. Well, the British wound up, they reneged on that, and they turned away from what they had promised Israel. And if you look at history with the English colonies, they had, in fact, there was a term that the English used to use years ago, so the sun never sets on the English Empire. Well, because they were all over, they controlled all those islands and everything. Well, after they reneged and turned from Israel, one by one they lost those colonies. One by one they lost control of all of them because they turned against Israel. But I'm always reminded about General Allenby when he rode into Jerusalem. He honored God so much. When he rode into Jerusalem in 1917, I believe it was, he said, I'm not worthy to ride in on a horse, because he knew Yeshua was going to come back one day on a horse. He got off of his horse and walked into Jerusalem. I think that was amazing. So knowing he knows that land was so important, it belongs to God. It doesn't belong to any man. It belongs to God. And God will deal with the people that love him, love his land, and that'll all be part of it. You and I that are believers, we'll be able to walk in and out of that place one day. I get excited thinking about it. We'll be able to walk in and out of that place because we love God. We love his family, the Jewish people. We love the ecclesia, the Jew and Gentile and the Messiah. We love all those things that God wants us to care about and love. And so we're going to have a wonderful time one day when it's all put in place. And we'll be able to be there all the time. There won't be nobody out there saying, well, you can't go up on Mount Moriah, you can't pray. Yeah, we can go up there any time at all. So we're honored to know that, because we are part of the Messiah. You're joined up, you're joint heirs with the Messiah. And so I get excited to think about what we got in the future. So we got to keep that in mind. Now I'm going to go over here to chapter 13. And this is going to tell you exactly what's going to happen in these days. Look at verse 1 in chapter 13. In that day, here we are still in that day, what? In Jacob's trouble, there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David. Whoa, huh? And to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Well, what is that? Well, who is that fountain? His name is Yeshua HaMashiach. That's who the fountain is. Amen. Hallelujah. Mm. And I think verse 2 is good. And it shall come to pass in that day, again, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land. No more idols, huh? And they shall no more be remembered. And I also will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. The false prophets is what he's talking about there.
Glory.
That's incredible. So he's going to clean it out completely. I think it's amazing. Now, I want to go over here and see if there's anything else I was thinking this morning to read here in chapter 13. Yeah, let's do this. Verse 7 of chapter 13. Listen to this. Hallelujah. Hush, mandalakasambre bay. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little one. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Yeshua himself said that in the New Testament. Smite the sheep, and they'll be scattered. And I will turn my hand upon the little ones, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. So only a third's going to make it. Two-thirds going to be cut off. And I will bring the third part through the fire, hallelujah, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. Mm. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God.
Amen.
Wow. A third part, huh? Now let's go into chapter 14. This part, the beginning of this chapter, the whole thing goes from this time of Jacob's trouble, but it's going to show you how it's all going to come to a conclusion after the end of the 7 years of Jacob's trouble. Hallelujah. Verse 1 in chapter 14. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Hear that? They're all going to come, all those nations. God's going to gather them all around because they think they're going to take the land, but he's going to show them that the land does not belong to them. It belongs to his people, Israel, and the Jewish people. And he says, and the city shall be taken, and the houses, rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Go read Revelation chapter 22. Chapter 19. It shows you the battle when he comes out on that white horse, and we that believe will be coming with him. And there's going to be a battle. In fact, I'm going to go read that. I'm going to go to Revelation. Turn over to real quick.
Amen.
I didn't have my Bible open there. But let's go to Revelation 19. Let's just see what the Holy Word has to say. Mm-hmm. This is all about Israel here, okay? And this is how we got the name for our church in this chapter as well. Spirit of Prophecy Ministries out of chapter 19, verse 10. But listen to this now. Chapter 19, verse 10, comparing what we just read over here in Zechariah. Listen to this. Hallelujah. Whoosh. Where do we want to go? Verse 11. And I saw heaven open, the Apostle John says, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. That has to be Yeshua HaMashiach. And in righteousness he doth judge and what? Make war. It's what he's going to do at the end. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture, dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. This is Yeshua. Now that blood is not from the cross. This blood is going to be the blood that's going to come from the battle of Armageddon. Verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. That's going to be you and I that are believers.
Amen.
Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Mm. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the vine press of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God.
Amen.
That ye may eat the flesh of kings and flesh of captains, flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sat on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Verse 19, And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and array and against his army. So there you are. It's fulfilled in Revelation chapter 19. Now back to chapter 14 in Zechariah with you. Here we go. Whew. Shandara kasandara bokosandara. So I'm going to read verse 3 again. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Now, here we go. This is going to show you the conclusion of it. Verse 4. And his feet shall stand on that day, what, the end of Jacob's trouble, upon the Mount of Olives, like it says in Acts chapter 1, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. You know, if you've ever been to Israel, seen pictures, the eastern gate's all blocked up.
That's right.
The Muslims did that years ago because they know that the Christians and the Jews have a Messiah, and he's going to come through the eastern gate. They're trying to stop him. And they even got graves outside there because they know he won't touch a dead body.
They put graves out there,
right. Of their own people.
You know, before, when Yeshua crossed over, there happened to be a road or
that's
a bridge.
Right. Yeah, there was a bridge there at one time.
But there's not one there now.
On the Kidron Valley.
Now it's like a big... Yeah. Well, the gorge, isn't it, would you call it?
You know? You got Muslim graves up along the wall there.
And there's also Jewish graves over there. Oh, it's right
on
there.
On Mount Olives.
That's right.
So there's going to be they think that they're going to block Christ from coming in. This earthquake's going to open this all up, right, what we just read.
Mm-hmm.
Now, verse 5, and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains. Hallelujah. Mm. For the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azael. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints, hear this, and all the saints with thee. This will be on the Day of Atonement at the end of Jacob's trouble. Isn't this amazing? I'm going to read this
even
again.
Even when we finally get down to verse 16, it talks about the feast.
That's right.
Keeping the feast.
That's right.
Feast of Tabernacles.
I'm going to read verse 5 again.
Okay.
And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains. This is an interesting place, huh? Those are God's mountains. For the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azael. Yea, ye shall flee, like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. So it's talking about an earthquake here. Same thing in verse 4.
Would this be the same as the Matthew 24?
Very close to it, yeah.
Yeah.
Now verse 6 says, and it shall come to pass in that day again, that the light shall not be clear nor dark.
Nor dark.
But it shall be one day, which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. Wow. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be.
Sounds like the day of the Lord.
That's what it's all about. That's right. Hallelujah.
And the Lord shall be king over
all the earth. Heard that? Not some of the earth. It says all the earth.
That's right. But his throne is going to be in Jerusalem.
That's right.
Amen. And the Lord, this is verse 9, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord and his name one.
So what was his?
One is he called.
Yeah, his name is what? Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh and also Yeshua HaMashiach. And the Ruach HaKodesh.
Amen. Yahweh.
That's right.
All the land shall be turned as a plain from, is that Geba
to
Rimmon,
south
of Jerusalem.
Uh-huh.
And it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of
Haniel
unto the king's winepress. It's going to be everywhere.
That's right.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be what? Safely inhabited. This will be at the end of Jacob's trouble. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Mm. Listen to this now. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. Now, some people think that's going to be some kind of a nuclear thing. Let me tell you, God can do this without a nuclear bomb. I got news for you, okay?
Mm.
Lord says this is going to happen. And it shall come to pass in that day. See, we're talking about Jacob's trouble. This is the end of Jacob's trouble.
It says the Lord will smite it.
That's right.
Pastor
it says the Lord's going to do it, not some atomic bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold, every one, on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a battle going on. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel and great abundance. Hear this? And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. Now, Donna just mentioned verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone, that means all the people that is left of all the nations, these are the Gentile nations, which came against Jerusalem, shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep what? The Feast of Tabernacles. So wouldn't it be nice for all of you and I that are listening to the radio program here, wouldn't it be nice to know what they do on the Feast of Tabernacles back in Jesus' day? What is it all about? It's a picture, totally a pattern, of what? The kingdom of God. It's even got 7 days in it.
Mm-hmm. It says all the nations, Pastor Gene.
That's right.
It says it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations,
that's right,
which came against Israel, Jerusalem, shall even go up from year to year. This is once a year, every year, to worship the King, who's that? Yeshua.
That's right.
The Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of warfare. Mm-hmm. And to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So that shows us right there, it's not just for one particular people. It's for all people who believe.
People. So it looks like there's going to be some nations after all this that's going to be worthy of this. They're probably going to come to the Messiah, and they're going to trust and believe in Him. And so they'll be available there.
I believe God has...
The ones that are left,
there'll
says.
Be some that will be mm-hmm. come from every nation.
Sure.
I believe there'll be some that will come from all nations that will decide to turn back to God and turn to righteousness and know that He is God.
That's right.
You know, and it's not their other gods. It's God. It's just there's one God. God. It said one, didn't it? We just read that a little bit ago about one God.
Now, verse 17 says...
His name is one.
That's right.
They will know that there's only one name.
That's right. Only one name.
One name under heaven, which men must be saved.
His name is Yeshua HaMashiach.
His name is Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Right.
So that one name, in verse 9, it talks about, it makes it clear that people can only come to the Lord, to God, to the Father, through His Son.
That's right.
The Lord Jesus Christ. You want to read verse
17? Yeah, verse 7, I'm saying what you just said. Verse 9, verse says, and the Lord shall be King over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and His name one. So we all have to come to Him. Now, verse 17,
the only way.
That's right. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. If they don't go to Jerusalem, to tabernacles. Isn't this amazing? This is for the entire world, not just for the Jews.
It won't rain on their on their country, on their
Says,
field.
In verse 18, it says, if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, they have no rain. They'll have no rain. There shall be a plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that came not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Tabernacles is mentioned three times through here.
So God still cares about Egypt.
Sure does.
Think about it. You know, His Son. Yeshua went into Egypt, didn't he, when he was a young baby, for protection.
So it must be there must going to be a lot of Egyptians who eventually understand and realize that Yeshua is truly the Messiah.
And God cares about the nations.
All the
nations. He cares about the people.
That's right, He does.
And we need to go ahead and finish that chapter, too.
Almost done. Verse 19, this shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. There's a third time it's mentioned. Now, verse 20, in that day, we're talking about the day of the Lord, shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. My Bible has this all in capital letters.
Mm-hmm, mine too.
And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. They're holy. Everything's holy in all this. 21, yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come up and take of them and seethe therein, means boil. And in that day there shall be no more Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. And we've talked about this
what
before.
What is a Canaanite, Pastor?
Canaanite is a merchandiser in the house
no
of God.
No more Canaanite.
That's right. I'm thinking about this. I'm going to read it. Every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord. Remember in Daniel, when Belshazzar, with the Babylonians, was taking all the elements that was taken out of the temple when they conquered Jerusalem and all. And he was making a mockery out of those holy items that God had. They were drinking their wine and everything out of it. And what happened? They looked up and there was a finger came and wrote on the wall right in that room they were in.
Right.
And he told them that the word that was written on there, nobody knew. They brought all their soothsayers and everybody out. Nobody could identify the word. And so the king realized, remember Daniel brought Daniel out. And Daniel was one that interpreted it. So it was our first tongue interpretation in there. But anyway, it was with this. What God wrote on the wall was, you've been weighing the balances and you've been found wanting or lacking. And He said, this place is coming down. And so it did. That day it came down. So I'm thinking about this verse, what it says there again, you know. And every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. and all they that sacrifice will come and take of them and see therein in that city. There shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts.
See, there were Canaanites there way earlier, even during Abraham's time.
Oh, sure.
And God promised them he would give them that land of Canaan.
That's right.
Because there were people there that called themselves, they were called Canaanites.
That's right.
So there's not going to be any more Canaanites. They're going to be people who love the Lord.
That's right. No more merchandising. That's right. At the gates and all that they did. We have a lot of merchandising going on in the church today. Even people, you know, use ministry to try to sell things or to raise money for their ministry. To me, I think that's contrary to the Word of God. We just have to trust God. We at our church, we don't do no. I'm not doing no merchandising there. If we have something, we need something, God will take care of it if we turn it over to Him and pray about it and all. And somebody will step up and do it out of the graciousness and love of God out of their heart. And so that's what we have to remember that. So He's going to stop all that. Hallelujah. If you remember, I think it was in Nehemiah, was it in Esther, one of those two books. At the very end, the people, the rulers in Jerusalem at that time, had people coming into the temple area and they were selling their merchandise. And so we remember.
It wasn't just that. It was war and it was a religion.
Right.
The Canaanite, they had
sure.
their own religion.
That's right. But he threw all them out of Jerusalem and told them not to come back on what? On the Sabbath especially. So this is amazing when we look at this and understand the things that God wants us to know about what's going to happen in the last days. In fact, I'm going to go over there real quick.
I just looked up my thing. It says the Canaanites went back into the Bronze Age.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago.
That's a long
Pastor
time
G.
ago.
Long
sure
time
right.
ago.
You're right, baby. Long time ago. You are right.
And, you know, God promised them that land.
That's
God
right.
God promised Abraham. He says, you look as far as you can see.
That's right.
And, you know, God's promises are yea and amen.
They never change.
They don't change.
They sure don't. So I'm going to turn over here. I believe it's in the book of Nehemiah, if my memory's right. I'm going through Ezra right now. And I'm going to get to Nehemiah. Yeah, it's in the book of Nehemiah. It's at the very end of the book. I just want to show this to you. And we can see what God did over here in Zechariah, the word that Zechariah brought forth about the merchandising and stuff in the church with the Canaanites. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this wonderful book we have called the Word of God. Aren't we glad we have this? Aren't we glad? I can't hear anybody on the radio
Amen.
Answer me.
Thank you, Lord.
That's right. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Try to see if I can spot this real quick. Yeah, here it is right here.
They had a lot of gods.
Yeah, they
did. Such as Baal.
Yeah.
And
so this is in chapter 13. Verse 15. Listen to this now. In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and lading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, that I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish, and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath, unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended, this is Nehemiah now, he's talking. Then I contended with all the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? And did not your fathers thus, and did not your God bring all this evil upon us and upon the city? Yet you bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. Well, this is important. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set eye at the gates, that there should be no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them and said unto them, why lodge you about the wall? If ye do so again, I will lay hands on you. Ooh. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath day. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. Isn't that incredible? So that's what he did. He ran them off. Says, you're not going to come in here and be around here on the Sabbath day. I thought that was pretty good. So, and we got the church today. People don't even want to honor the Sabbath. We know God put it in place. And people say, well, that's a Jewish thing. Well, I'm grafted in, so that means I'm a grafted in Jew, aren't we, honey? You and I both. So
amen.
We're part of Israel. We're so blessed to be a part of them. So why don't we want to honor the things that God gave them to do as well? You know, we don't do a lot of legalistic things, but there's a truth behind all of it. And everything that God put in place is holy. The Sabbath is holy. And we think about that, you know. And when God gave the Ten Commandments over there in Exodus chapter 19, when he gave the Ten Commandments, well, this is when the Torah began to be told, and they wrote it all down and everything. It was written on the tablets of stone and all that. But you think about it, he told it on the middle, the fifth commandment in the Ten Commandments was to what? To remember the Sabbath. So the Sabbath must have been going on long before that. They knew that seventh day was so important. And it's not on Sunday. It's on Saturday. And so they honored that. And so it's a holy thing. So we should honor. So what we do at our church and ministry is we honor the Sabbath, and we also honor the first day of the week. It's incredible. And if you read, I got a book years ago. It's in Greek. It's called the Didache. And it was written by the early founding apostles of the foundations of the church and all that. And you can read in there what they did. They honored, you can read several places in there with what they, you know, the fragments they found and all when they wrote this. They found out that what it says in that book is that they honored the Sabbath, and they also honored the first day of the week. And so everything that God put in place, I keep telling people, this is holy. These are holy things. These aren't things we just throw around. These are holy things, you know. And so a lot of people don't realize it. The seven appointed times, those are holy things that God put in place. Israel has to remember those every single year. And he's a cyclic God. Every year it came around, they had to honor that. Certain celebrations they did and all. And we don't have a lot of it in our Bible. But you can look at the Jewish writings. You can look at all those things. They can tell you what they did. The mission and all, they tell you what they did on those appointed times. They were holy, especially the Day of Atonement. They weren't to what? They weren't to eat or drink water for 24 hours. It was holy when the high priest went in behind that veil. Everything had to be done perfect, and they wouldn't have been accepted for another year. And so we got so much in the Bible that we honor. We don't do a lot of the legalistic things. We've been talking about that in the past. But there's a spirit behind all these things that God put in place, and so they are holy. And even the things that Paul wrote in the New Testament, those epistles that he wrote about the nine manifestations of the Spirit and all those things, and those are all holy things. And we got I wouldn't say all the church, but a big part of the church were blaspheming those things. Like even God wanted every believer to be baptized in the Holy Ghost with an evidence of speaking in tongues, which would be their heavenly language. Well, they blaspheme that that's not for today. That's a holy thing. It's a holy thing. We should never abuse it or say anything. I've had people tell me in the past, well, Pastor Gene, that's from the devil. What you got, that's from the devil. I bind that in the name of Yeshua, okay? That's not true. So all these things are holy. Holy, holy, holy. And I'll tell you, that land of Israel is a holy land. And by the way, if you look at the territory they have today, geography-wise, that's not all they're going to have. They're going to have a lot more when it comes to the conclusion that he gave to all the tribes. He never backs down on his word. And so it's holy. Mount Moriah is the holiest mountain in all the world. God chose that mountain. That's the most holy mountain. And this is where we got this battle going on. A stone of trembling and a cup of all the things we read about over there in Zechariah. It brings a big stumbling stone in front of people because they don't want to believe what the Word of God says. They want to do what they want. So we have all these religious systems that are trying to make up their own thought and what they want. And so the Muslims claim that Mount Moriah is their mountain, because of what Muhammad had to say. Well, Muhammad never even visited one time to Jerusalem. This was a vision he had that he was taken there supposedly. So it wasn't his land. It was given to who? To the Jewish people, to the Hebrews. It's their property. And so it's going to be that way at the very end. And so that's a holy place also. And I remember we went there, and I was up on the mount twice. I've been to Israel twice. And when I stood up there on the edge of it on the outside, you could just feel the holy presence of that place. When you go up on the Mount of Olives and look up there where all the trees are at and the people hugging the trees and praying to God, you can look right into that eastern gate, the golden gate. and you can see the part of the Temple Mount and all that. You know, that's a holy place. And so we should think about that as holiness unto the Lord. He put all that in place for us to understand what his purpose and plan and counsel is. And people got to remember this, that Israel and the Jewish people are the big, huge part of the plan of redemption that God put
Definitely.
In place. It's his plan. He brought all this knowledge that we have in this book that was given to men by the Spirit of God, was all given for the benefit, not only for, but first it should have been for the Jewish people, yeah, but for the whole world, for the entire world. That's how holy it is. And so God intended that. And so at one time, you know, the Jewish people even believed that only the Hebrews are going to be the ones that are going to be in the kingdom of God. Well, when Yeshua came, that kind of turned their card over.
He clarified it, didn't he?
He made it clear, yeah. He's there for Jew and Gentile together. And so we just
one new man.
The one new man in Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
So we have to remember all these things and keep it in our heart. And we ought to be hungry for these things to find out more. I remember when I started getting real hungry about this back in 1988. And began to study the things with the Jewishness and got all the material I could find written by a Messianic Jew that knew all these things. And so I just grabbed hold. Look at Jonathan Cahn, what he's bringing forth now for Gentiles that have no clue really about the Jewishness. But, you know, it doesn't mean we're going to convert to Judaism. But the thing is, there's principles and understanding and all that that's in our lives that we can grow and mature even more so to know how God thinks, what he wants of us, and what he expects of us. And so I think it's amazing when we think about what God gave us. We got this whole, I got this holy book before me, this King James Version Bible. This is a holy document I got in my hands. This was not really written by men. It was written by God. And it says that Yeshua was the author of this. What's it say? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is his writing. So it's amazing. So we have this precious book. This thing is, and I shouldn't call it a thing, this book is so holy.
Document.
And it's a holy document that God's preserved all these years.
It's the living word of God.
Years, and many men have died wanting to translate this into their language. You know, we think about Wycliffe and Tyndale and all these men that brought the Bible to life for the average person out on the street, you know, where they live in whatever country they're in, to give them this Bible to be able to read and see what God has to say about them. So this is a love letter to us.
People need to go now today and read the book of Hebrews.
That's right.
It tells us about the King
that's
of
right.
Righteousness.
So we were talking.
King of Salem. Yeah. Talks about God. About God.
That's right.
Talks about Melchizedek.
That's right.
Talks about the high priest.
Yeah.
Yeshua is our high priest.
That's right.
Talks about the promises of Abraham.
All the promises of God. That's right.
All the promises that God has given us.
It says in the New Testament, they're yea and amen for us to believe. It's incredible. That's right.
Amen.
So we open up talking about this stumbling situation and the battle in for Jerusalem right now and the Temple Mount and all that. And that's what we started with. But you can see how much other things can be taken off of this to bring us to a place to understand that God wants us to know that the end's coming. And I loved what Zechariah had to say because he tells us over there exactly how it's going to end.
Amen.
In okay. chapter 13, he tells you exactly about the earthquake going to come, the land's going to be split right down the middle, and that pagan idol that's sitting on Mount Moriah right now, that's going to disappear. Some people think it's going to stay, and God's going to build his temple right next to it.
No way.
That's a holy mount. There's not going to be some pagan religion on top of that mount along with the temple of God. And so Zechariah, he tells us the whole event that's going to happen at the very end of all of this. And you know, it's amazing just to think about it, that we got this burdensome stone that they're battling with right now. And it's a cup of trembling, it says over there. But we read all this, and it tells you at the end there, what? Who's going to have that? It's going to belong to Israel because God gave it to them. So I'm glad we believe that. And we don't, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the church today. They believe that God's done with Israel and that we, the Gentiles, we have replaced them. That's called replacement theology. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And so we need to bind and forbid anti-Semitism and replacement theology because God loves his people and he's going to do everything in his power. That's what Jacob's trouble is all about. Everything in his power to reveal to them about Yeshua the Messiah. And that's why they're going to go through some of these terrible times in the book of Revelation. But we need to pray for Israel, the Jewish people, not only in Israel but all over the world, that they'll come to the Messiah. And if they do, they'll escape all this stuff that's going to come upon the earth, and they'll know who they belong to, and they're going to be protected. That's God's purpose, was to bring them to that place to see and realize that Yeshua HaMashiach was their, he's a lifesaver. You know, you're out in the water, you're drowned. He's throwing you a lifesaver to grab hold of that, and he's going to give you life. And he's going to give it to you abundantly.
Amen.
So it's amazing when I think about what we have. And so we need to honor this more so. And we take a lot of things out of the first covenant. People preach on it, and they try to bring the church into it. Everything is spoken in here through the first covenant. God was speaking to the nation of Israel. He was talking to his people, to his kings, to his prophets, to the priests. He was talking to all of those people. He wasn't talking to you and I. But we know now there's a new dispensation when Christ came. Now we're what? We're kings and priests as well in the kingdom of God.
That's right.
And so we need to honor everything that God put in place so that we can grow and mature and understand the things of God, his thoughts. These are all his thoughts. He put them in place for you and I. And he spoke it through men. Aren't you glad to be in the body of Christ?
Amen.
So I'm just, as we prepare to close here, if there's anybody listening to this program today that you maybe haven't ever realized any of this, that you're going to get hungry for God to look at these things and study it in a new way. And you can get some books that from a Messianic Jew. I'm thinking about Jonathan Cahn. They'll give you so much
awesome
insight
books
into what the Spirit of God is saying with so many things, even with the language and all that.
Read your Bible.
Read your Bible, yeah. But mainly, I'm just going to ask if there's somebody listening today and you've never made a decision for Christ Jesus, for Yeshua HaMashiach in your life. You've heard about him, and you just haven't given it much thought. This is your life anchor, or savior, I should say. What do they call those? A lifesaver? The buoys that they throw out into the water when somebody's around. He's that buoy. You can grab hold of that, and he can take care of you, bring you to a new place, and you'll be born again in the Messiah. And your whole life will turn upside down. That's what God wants you to know. So if you haven't done that, all you have to do is sit down, just pray. Maybe you never prayed in your life. Just say, Lord, I don't know how to pray, but I'm asking you. I know I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior, and you're the only one that can do that. There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby man must be saved. His name is Yeshua, Jesus Christ. I ask you to come into my heart, take
Amen.
Over my life.
Thank you, Lord.
And I'm going to walk a new way with you from this day forward. Hallelujah.
I'm going to read something real quick. Pastor Gene, you give me a minute, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels.
Whoa.
To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn,
Hallelujah.
Which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect.
Thank you, Lord.
And to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And I don't have time to read the rest. That's in Hebrews chapter
12. We're down to less than a minute here, yes.
This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, and we're just blessed to be on this radio broadcast.
Yes, Lord.
Every Saturday, Lord willing, keep us in prayer, please. And the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And we have service on Sunday at 10 a.m. If you'd like to know more information, just give us a phone call. Amen.
Amen. So as we close, I'm telling you that we always do on this program, we love people and we want to see them raised to a new place of raising the standard. So as we close, we tell you, look up because your redemption draws nigh. And what do we say, Pastor Don?
Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.
Okay. Let me know when to go live.